tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I have been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. Today, we are speaking with Tammy King. Tammy has always had a connection with cats, especially feral or community cats. Her first dealing was with an outdoor cat that had kittens in a storage bin in her yard when she was a kid. When she saw the mom and babies for the first time, they looked up and hissed at her. She was 6 years old and hooked on cats from that moment on. She has always been involved in some way with cats her entire life, learning more about them and even went the purebred route for a time with a Siamese who won numerous awards. Her real work with ferals came in 2000 when she moved to Mayport Village, a small fishing village along the east coast of Jacksonville. There were more cats than people due to a lot of dumping and the myth that a fishing village was a cat paradise. When she tried to get the cats fixed to stem the kitten population, she found her pet vet was too expensive and not very receptive to fixing ferals. Later, she found out about First Coast No More Homeless Pets Feral Cat Program and began trapping and taking care of the community cats ever since. In 2007, Mayport Cats was born. Since that time, they have expanded to doing adoptions of cats and kittens that needed extended medical care in order to survive and have subsequently socialized. They also specialize in disabled and hard-to-adopt cats. The organization is an all-volunteer group dedicated to helping cats in the community. To date, over 4,000 cats have been trapped, sterilized, vaccinated, and released or adopted. During 2013 through 2015, she worked at First Coast No More Homeless Pets as the community cat coordinator, trapping the cats throughout the entire city. In this capacity, she had the amazing opportunity to educate thousands of people in Duval County and trap over 4,600 cats for spay-neuter. Once the program with First Coast ended, they reinvested their time and energy into Mayport Cats and continue to adhere to the mission statement of providing for the health, safety, and welfare of feral and abandoned cats. Mayport has become a well-known contact point for cat information and help in the beaches area. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So, what a great story about that mama cat and kittens and having her hiss at you. So, basically, That was the bee in the bonnet that got you going with cats, huh?
Yes, I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. I was in shock when I opened it up and they all hissed at me. I was like, whoa. And it just impressed me. But then again, I was a kid, so.
Right. The first thing that happened in this timeline was working for First Coast No More Homeless Pets, or did you start Mayport Cats before that time?
I started Mayport Cats before that time, and our cats were going into First Coast had just started their spay neuter program. And so I was taking them into First Coast. And then in 2013 is when the director, Rick, went ahead and asked if I could come on board and trap throughout Duval County.
And do you coordinate other trappers, or did you actually physically go out and trap most of those cats?
I was the only trapper. I was it. And I physically did it. It was great. Spent a lot of time in dumpsters.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You must have had a pretty decent vehicle for that.
Yeah, we had, I had use of the company van so that the cats were in the air conditioning or the heat, depending on the weather. They were out of the elements, and it kept them safe and secure.
So in your experience, we'll talk big picture, and then we'll sort of scale down a little bit. But in your experience working in Jacksonville, did you have target areas that you focused in, subsections of the city?
Originally, that was the plan, and we did start off targeting the heavy areas we were aware of. But once we started doing it, it just totally, the ball just got huge, and then word spread, and we found out that there wasn't really one particular area of the city that was overloaded. It seemed to be the entire city. So we just went ahead, and instead of doing one area and then going to another, We just took on cases by priority. The majority of cats, if one colony on the west side had 20 cats and a colony on the north side had 10, we went for the 20 and then we'd hit the 10.
So I had the honor of interviewing Rick Ducharme in episode 46. So if folks haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, I'd highly recommend going back and checking that episode out to find out more about the First Coast No More Homeless Pets story. But it sounds like you were definitely Rick's boots on the ground, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I went through several pairs of boots.
During that period of time, would you say you had any specific challenges?
Most of the challenges were just trying to get people to understand why we needed a feral cat program, why these cats needed to be fixed, overcoming a lot of cultural barriers.
So that took a lot of time and patience, and eventually you sort of won them over. Did folks start to get to know you in the communities?
Oh, definitely. My phone would not stop ringing and everybody knew me. And yes, it did. Once I talked to people, because I'm really big on education, I'm not one of those, well, we're going to do this just because or else. I try to explain to people why and how important it is. And then all of a sudden they go, well, you know what? That makes sense. So I spent a lot of time talking to people. And once I got the culture down and why they felt the way they felt, you know, where they were coming from, it was easier for me to convince them based on their feelings and their perceptions.
So then after you finished working with First Coast No More Homeless Pets, you started Mayport Cats. Can you tell me a bit more about Mayport and like how many cats you estimated needed access to spay-neuter?
Oh, my goodness. We first started doing it back in 2007. We had a week-long mass trapping here, and 187 cats were trapped for spay and neuter that weekend out here. We are a fishing village along the coast. Anybody that's familiar with Jacksonville knows exactly where Mayport is. We are bordered on one side by a Navy base and on the other two sides by the St. John's River and the Atlantic Ocean. The fourth side is one road leading back to the beaches and into Jacksonville. So we were pretty, it's, you know, the cats come in, but they can't get back out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would dump. And we started seeing cats that were getting very sick that would just kind of walk up in the yard and die. And I realized at that point that something needed to be done. I really didn't want to have a bunch of kittens dying on my porch. So that's when I contacted Rick about the program and what we could do.
And now let's take a moment to listen to a few words from our sponsors. Ready to make a big difference for cats in your community? We've got an exciting opportunity that can jumpstart your efforts. The Community Cats Podcast has launched Community Cats Grants. When you qualify for this innovative program, you'll gain valuable knowledge about how to raise funds for your spay-neuter efforts. Plus, we'll match the funds you raise up to $1,000, doubling your ability to make a difference for cats. Fundraising doesn't have to be scary. We'll be with you every step of the way. Check it out. You can find all of the details on the Community Cats Podcast website under our education menu. Let's join forces to make the world a better place for community cats. And so did you then identify individual colonies or how did you coordinate your program in Mayport? How does that work?
Well, what I did was I basically went house to house. We identified 16 different colonies out here. And I went house to house, talked to people, got to know them, took them cat food, everything. I did whatever I needed to do to try to get them on board. Many people were very receptive to it because they knew that they needed help. They either couldn't afford it or didn't know where to go or did not know that the resource from First Coast was available. some people were, they weren't actually opposed to it. They were just very indifferent. They had that, well, do whatever you need to do. Don't bother me attitude. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But on the whole, I did not really get any bad feedback from anyone. Everybody was very receptive. And then as people saw that, yes, these cats were coming back fixed and healthy, then all of a sudden it just kind of snowballed. And then it was like, yeah, come do these, come do these. I got colonies here. Mm-hmm. And then people were much more receptive once they saw that, in fact, what I was doing was helping the cats.
So if you had to estimate what the free roaming cat population was back in 2007 when you first started in Mayport, would you be able to put an estimate on that?
I would say we did 187 that one weekend, plus I had done a bunch prior to that. I would say anywhere from 2 to 250.
And then what's the situation for free roaming cats now in Mayport?
In Mayport, because we are part of Jacksonville, they are, as long as they've got an ear tip, that's their get out of jail free card. So they are allowed to roam. Our population has seriously dwindled. The colonies are much smaller now. Granted, we have the same number of people feeding, but instead of everyone feeding individual cats, it's now one cat could be eating at three different houses. Mm-hmm. Have not had any kittens born out here. It's been clean and healthy.
When was the last time you had kittens born in Mayport?
Oh, dear. Hang on a second.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a number of years. Let's go with at least 3 years.
I just curious, this is just a model that just sounds so similar to the project that we had in Newburyport. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating to me. So I sorry for the peppering of the questions, but it's just, I find it's wonderful when you see sort of a mirror organization and you can really learn a lot. And it sounds like you've had, if I had to guess based on those 16 colonies, it sounds like you'd be down in the 30 to 50 cat range for in your maintenance level.
Right now, I'd say it's even less than that, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fallen off. The biggest problem that we have is people coming in and dumping new cats.
Yeah.
And at that point, everybody out here knows me and they call and they go, hey, somebody just dumped a cat out here. And boom, we grab it right away and get it in, get it fixed. And either a lot of times we're finding out that these cats are adoptable. They're pets that people are dumping.
Yeah.
So we get them adopted.
Well, this is the ideal model of, you know, what we all hope to attain for all of our community cats, which is seeing really true attrition in the number of cats that we have in our community and making sure that the feral cats are taken care of and have caretakers and feeders. And I'm with you. Sometimes it's hard to turn those feeders off when you need to, but they love the cats dearly, you know, so I can't knock that either.
No. And I invite anybody to come out here. I mean, all you're going to see are ear tips. I mean, it's wonderful. I love it.
Is it sort of a touristy area or is it different than that?
No, there are tourists that come through here mainly because we've got a couple of restaurants that have made some kind of dining program show or whatever, and that are well known. We're right here at what I call the edge of the earth. Mm-hmm. We are connected with the ferry, which runs up A1A Amelia Island. So yeah, we do get a fair number of tourists here, usually on the weekends.
So sometimes if you travel to Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard, but primarily Nantucket is known for their free roaming cats, and they have downtown, they have all these really cute little feeding stations, and it is a joy to see an ear-tipped cat. I love ear-tipped cats. It's just great. When you started, who would you say are your mentors?
I didn't really have any. I mean, I had no clue what I was doing. Rick brought out a lady named Lee Conway. She went through, she said, here's the trap. This is what you do. Got it. And I was too embarrassed to say no. I said, sure, I got this. And went from there. It was pretty much trial and error. You kind of learn as you go along. I didn't really have any mentors because I didn't really know anybody that was doing this.
Yeah. Well, Rick certainly helped you, and then you sort of learned trial by fire, which I honestly feel like a lot of us, no matter what we read and whatever we hear, we all have to learn by doing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's a path. But, you know, we have the internet, we have conferences, and it is good to try and reach out and learn from others. So being the leader of a small organization, Mayport, and it looks like you've gotten involved a bit in the rescue side of things in helping some cats that might need some extra assistance before being available for adoption and sure. helping out with kitten foster care. How is that meshed with the mission of TNR? Does that exhaust your organization or is it kept in check?
A little bit of both. It does get exhausting, especially when kitten season never seems to end. And you keep finding all these kittens that are like in bad shape and kind of wonky and stuff and require the extra medical attention. But it also keeps us focused because it's, okay, we cannot fall in love with this kitten. We must get it adopted. We've got to get it healthy so that we can make room for more because there's tomorrow and tomorrow always brings more.
So how was that decision made? Was it a challenging decision or one that just you felt was just absolutely necessary because the demand was so great?
Absolutely necessary.
Does your organization do barn relocation, anything on the feline leukemia positive adoptions, anything in that realm?
Yeah, I had a feline leukemia positive cat. A number of my volunteers also have positive cats. We have learned that they can live a decent, normal life. They're not the infectious beasts that everybody's afraid of. So we don't get upset. We still get them adopted out, or we still fix them and put them back out if they're feral. We don't put any great emphasis on, oh my God, this cat's positive. We've got to put it down right away. That's pretty much how we perceived it because we deal with these cats. So we've seen what their life is like, and it's not that horrible thing. It's just that when it's their time to go, they do go quick. They don't, you know, everybody's had that cat that's been dying for 15 years, you know, always. And it's like, oh my God, okay, you know, 20 years ago, he was supposed to die. But with a positive cat, they go very quickly. And you have to keep that in mind so that you know, okay, look for the signs. It's, you know, it's his time.
Yeah, we, the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society adopts out feline leukemia positive cats. And we do have them in a Care for Life type program. But we don't worry at all about the costs with regards to a feline leukemia positive cat because, as you said, unfortunately, when their time does come, it's usually very quick and not costly. And unfortunately, in this world, we do have to think about medical bills and that kind of thing. And the cat that's in renal failure, that's also in our Care for Life program, is going to cost us an awful lot more. Or the cats that have the heart murmurs that need echoes every 6 months to a year, those are going to be expensive. So it is a really good thing to know that people shouldn't be afraid of feline leukemia positive cats.
Yes, definitely. It's not that horrible thing that you've been led to believe.
So Tammy, if people are interested in finding out more about Mayport cats and or reaching out to you, find out how you could possibly trap 4,600 cats in 2 to 3 years. what your tricks were, what your snacks were in the car, what energy bars you had. How would they find you?
We are very big on Facebook and Instagram under Mayport Cats. It's real easy to find. We have a website, mayportcats.com, but those are the three main ways that you can contact us.
And Tammy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Fix a feral before you feed him.
I agree with you 100%. I have said that so many times that the fixing is much more important than the feeding.
Yep. Fix, then feed. That's our motto.
Yep. I love it. I hope you have a t-shirt that says that. I'll buy one of those.
That'll be our next one.
Anyway, well, Tammy, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on my show, and I hope we'll have you on in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to a Community Cats podcast. I would really appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and leave a review of the show. It will help spread the word to help more community cats.